Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
We want it to be said. We want it to be said that we are growing more and more to know the person and the presence of Holy Spirit. You see, in a real sense, the Father is in heaven over all creation, and the Son, while His church is His body over all the earth, but He's seated at the right-hand side of heaven. But His Holy Spirit is moving in the earth today like a wind blowing across barren lives, bringing awareness of who Jesus is, bringing, changing people's minds from thinking of the Father as an angry, distant, judgmental God, to understanding that the Father could never love you more than He loves you right now, right where you are, in your confusion, in your depression, in your joy, in your happiness, in your prosperity, in your lack, in your poverty, in your health, in your sickness, whatever you are in right now. Holy Spirit says, Father could never love you more, but He doesn't want to leave you there. He doesn't want to leave you there. So Holy Spirit comes to breathe on you, to bring life to you, to rejuvenate you. So this morning, it's not just about being to church and fulfilling your duty, but it's a place, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit gathered to drink, to soak, to be saturated. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This has been a beautiful time this morning, church, in the presence of God. You know, Sunday by Sunday, I'm always amazed that, you know, one Sunday can be very upbeat, and we need to dance around like we did last Sunday with flags and running up and down the aisles. And we need times of that. But we don't have to get formulas in place where we think we have to do it the same way, the same time every week. And we can set our clocks by what is taking place. Now, there's a short time that we're together, an hour and a half, or sometimes 2 hours at the most. And we get a whole lot done in that time. There's testimonies, there's family news, there's worship, there's the ministry of the word. All these good things happen. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that you are with us, that we're not alone, that we're not orphans, but that you're present with us. And didn't our new team here this morning do such a good job in leading us in worship? Thank you, guys, as you take your seats. Just want to appreciate you. And they all the way from church in Belito, and here's with their families over here, all of them. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us this morning. It's always been such a pleasure to... Malcolm and Harvey, don't stand up for a moment, just because I'd like to welcome you too. They weren't on the stage, but they and their families are leading a life group in Belita. It's the furthest life group away from Highway. And they come and join us every 6 weeks for a celebration. And this morning they thought they'd bring their worship team along with them. And we hope that's not the last time. It was lovely, refreshing, very sweet. But you judge things by, is there a presence of God in it? That's what you judge it by. Not what keys or notes or new songs or old songs. But does it carry the presence of God? Amen? Well, consider yourself welcome this morning. If you're visiting and we'd like to acknowledge you here with us, you can raise a hand. We'd like to welcome you. Any visitors, just raise a hand. Say, morning, morning to you, morning. Anybody else, if you're visiting for the first time today, you're welcome to come after the service where these orange couches are. There'll be someone to meet you here, greet you, bring you a cup of coffee so you don't have to fight through the crowds. And the first one's always free. It's a good deal, eh? So if you're visiting, please come and say hi. But to everyone else, welcome. You know, you only had to put in one day's leave this weekend to get like a whole month off. My calendar, all the working days are highlighted, so you know which ones are highlighted as working days, because all the rest are holidays. But those who are here this morning, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I came to church. I feel refreshed already. And the life group taking up the offering, if you could please come forward. Bill, you said you had a testimony to share. There's a microphone. While the guys are coming up to take up the offering, and just before he gives a testimony, we just want to say thank you to the Lord for ongoing provision for this church, month after month, year after year. It's a miracle as we see the bills paid and the gospel preached. And we just want to say thank you to those who partner with us in giving, in faith, in trusting. And this morning, a notice board, clipboard is going to go around for the baptism. People who want to be baptized, if you haven't been baptized, you please write your name down on that as you go. Thank you, Father, this morning for all our needs met in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,
morning, everybody. Anne and I had an amazing privilege yesterday evening to go and be part of a commissioning service at Africa Enterprise, where six young people were commissioned to go out in the world and to go and do that. They'd had a year's training, and it was just so amazing. And that's the Foxfires of AE. I've spoken to Steve already, and perhaps we can get them here to help our youth. I don't know. But the Foxfire comes from Judges 15, where Samson tied the tails together and sent fire amongst their enemies. And guys, I just feel now I want to turn over to the prophetic of what I've seen there. When I heard the scripture that was shared this morning out of Ephesians, I really believe with all my heart and all that I can say to you prophetically that you need to take note of that scripture. And you need to take note of Ephesians. When I was in Germany, after I had a visitation from the Lord, that's a scripture, that was the sort of thing the Lord was saying. And I believe after we prophesied, I prayed a prophetic prayer over the people last night. And I said to them, God has called you in righteousness. Now, it's not only for them, but it's for you here this morning as well. Because God has anointed you to go into the world. God has anointed you to go and open the blind eyes. God has called you to break the chains and to do the work. And there's a strategy already. Go out two by two. Get a friend and go and be and fulfill the prophetic word that you heard here this morning. And we celebrated, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is so real. He will never leave you. He will be with you. He will touch you. He will help you. He will guide you. And everybody said? Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Bill. Lovely to hear testimony. And that testimony we heard last week with that, with Minnie being healed, stage 3 cancer, to where they can't find a trace in her body. My only question is why that doesn't happen every time we pray for people. And we shouldn't drop our faith because of our experience. But that's an awesome testimony we heard. Part of that testimony just revealed that many people are in the bondage of feeling like they're in a family curse because, you know, grandfather had this problem and then my father had this problem and now I've got this problem. And we've got to be very careful we don't live in the fear of the generation curse, because we've been set free from the curse. I want to ask Pascal, come pray with us, Pascal, because he came to me this morning and he felt that very strongly to just pray for people who feel some fear in the area of what happened in previous generations is going to be passed on. You know, my grandparents were poor and, you know, in drug addicts, and now, you know, that curse is broken in Jesus' name. And all we do is we agree through prayer. So, no preaching, just praying. If that's you this morning, if you feel, yes, you've got a fear of something that's generational, sickness, poverty, any area, stand to your feet right now. Let's stand right now. I believe there's an anointing on Pascal to pray and to break some of that fear of people's lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because we are your generation. And there is no curse upon us because of what happened to our parents or our relatives. sickness or any circumstances that are against your will, that are, can be called as injustice compared to what you achieve on the cross. Jesus, I speak against it now in Jesus' name. What was being named onto some of our relatives, brothers, sisters, parents, doesn't belong to us. Because you came and broke everything. You gave us life that is yours. And you call us by your name. In our vein, it's your blood moving and running. And there is nothing compared to what you've done that the devil can put in us. We are more and more winner in everything because you've called us to be that way. In Jesus' name, in amen.
Amen. Let's all stand up together. And let's open our hearts up to receive what God has got. Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You and I need courage. And part of that process is encouraging ourselves. It's no use we just hear a sermon week by week on this topic. But I ask that this coming week, this will become a practical part of our lives, day by day by day. I pray, God, for, and you'll just lift up your hands just as a receiving. I know, but just say after me, Father God, I want to receive your word that will change my life. A prophetic word through your scripture, through the Holy Spirit, that will change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats, thanks, guys. We've been talking on this topic for a few weeks, and I want to carry on the theme. Last week, we looked at encouraging ourselves by remembering. Remember? Encouraging ourselves by remembering. They were on the boat, and they didn't have bread with them, and they got all perturbed. And Jesus says, are your eyes blind? Your ears are deaf? You don't see, you don't hear. Have you forgotten? Don't you remember the breaking of bread? You see, in the breaking of bread, there was an opportunity for them to have their faith built up where they would walk in full confidence in God's provision. And they missed a good opportunity to learn, even though they did everything right. Went to the meeting, sat in groups of 50, handed out everything on time. Outwardly, it looked perfect. But inwardly, it says their hearts were still hard because they had never understood the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus has to rebuke them and say, don't you remember? You see, when our eyes aren't seeing and our ears aren't hearing, at least we can still remember what God did. And I want to carry on with that theme of remembering. Because at times when our vision fails us and our hearing God's voice fails us, there's some things we can remember. Say, remember. And this morning, we're going to learn how to encourage ourselves by remembering the gospel. You see, very important is man's innate ability to forget. And it's dangerous. So, into this context, Paul writes and he says, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. Very important passage of scripture. He's writing to a young church, the Corinthian church. They were mostly babies, new believers, doing crazy, hectic things, coming to the communion service to get drunk on wine and sleeping around with all their friends and dads, wives. And it was such a mess in the Corinthian culture. Anything went in the Corinthian culture. And into this, he writes to them and he says, I have to keep reminding you about the gospel. In this particular instance, he's reminding them that Jesus rose from the dead. Because they didn't even get that right. They were questioning whether he actually rose from the dead. Now, I come to remind you this morning about the gospel. But I know most people sitting here, if you're sitting here this morning, it's because you're probably a believer and believing revolves around that Jesus rose from the dead. So I'm not reminding you for the same reason Paul did, but we've got to keep being reminded of the gospel. So I want to come at it from a slightly different angle this morning. I want to speak about two realms that the Bible talk about. There's two realms. There's the physical and the spiritual. And by that, We're not saying that we have a dualistic belief. There was a dualistic faith in the early, not a faith, a sect that believed everything physical is evil and dirty and naughty and snotty, but everything spiritual is good and righteous. So, you know, don't dress nicely, don't eat nice food, you know, don't get married, enjoy the pleasures of marriage, don't, you know, have a nice home because that's all evil, dirty, rotten. That was dualism. We don't believe in that. But we do very much believe that there are two realms. There's a realm, there's a seen physical realm, and then there's a spiritual, unseen realm. The physical realm is the realm of touch and taste and smell. It's the realm of opposites, hot, cold, you know, good, bad, fast, slow. It's a world of contrast, the world you can see. I can decide to do something in this world. I can feel something towards something. I'm a soul. I'm a being. In a physical world that has a physical body, this is the vehicle that negotiates my soul. And God always intended my spirit to be in control of my soul. So I'm first a spirit who has a soul who lives in a body. I'm not just a soul in a body. Well, I am like that when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, the Bible says. When I was separate from God, my spirit was dead. But that wasn't God's intention. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is, excuse me, is temporary. Now I need to lower it down. Was battling a little bit with the throat. Trying to come back, but it's not going to come back. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's like frequencies on a radio channel. You have Radio 5 and East Coast Radio coming out of two different speakers, but you can see nothing in the air. So which is it? Well, it's both. Just two different frequencies. It's like there's two different realms we live in. The one is the seen physical, and the one is the unseen, where our spirit is connected. So it's important. Now, you'll notice I put up my little props here this morning. Jesus spoke about what is born of flesh is flesh, and what's born of spirit is spirit. Remember that when you're speaking to Nicodemus. Now, man's whole problem centered around the fact that after he sinned and fell in the garden, he wanted to relate to God on the basis of the knowledge of good and evil. Where God had provided a tree of life. Let's call this the tree of here. The tree of life. And I want you to imagine with me something else. That this stage separates the seen physical world, which I'm walking on now, and the unseen spiritual reality, which is over here. Have you got that in your mind? So the physical world that we live in, the temporal, the soul realm, is not an evil realm. It's a beautiful realm. It's a realm of sunsets and all God's handiwork and his fingerprints to show how awesome he is. It's a beautiful world when the soul is dictating to the body and the spirit is dictating to the soul. The physical natural realm is also the realm of temptation. It's the realm of being drawn to things we don't want to do, especially when you become a Christian. I mean, up before you were a Christian, it was easy just to sit over here and enjoy living at this place. But the moment your spirit is reborn, let's say your spirit is up here, and our spirit is reborn by what Jesus did on the cross, the tree of life. And then suddenly we come into this dilemma of, we don't want to live there anymore, and trying to be here proves to be really difficult. So we're caught in this kind of swing between not wanting to live there anymore, but when we're moving here, we sometimes get tucked back here, and we're living by the knowledge of good and evil. Now, that's okay for a while for a baby Christian, as they've just been born again. But God never intended us to live by the knowledge of good and evil. He intended us to live by the tree of life, by Jesus. So understanding these two frequencies, these two planes, these two levels, and the struggle between good and evil at that level, and understanding that we're meant to live in the tree of life, is essential to correctly understanding what Christianity is all about. And that is what the gospel is all about. If we don't get this, we're going to get some idea about what we think the gospel is, but we never actually interpret it through this lens of what we've just read there. All right, let's move on. So, and this is what happened at the cross. A miracle happened when you were born again. Do you want to see some of the things that happened to you here? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 70 says, but he who unites himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you could imagine, if I had, can I have two flags, please? Just thanks, Jan. He who unites himself to the Lord is one with him in spirit. So let me illustrate this. Thanks, sweetie. I could have probably got it myself. Is if this represents Christ, and this represented my spirit, not my soul, not my body, my spirit, when I come into Christ, I come into that relationship. Very important. Let's read on. Okay? For in Christ, over here, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given what? Fullness in Christ. Colossians 3:3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us where? In the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And here's the list of blessings. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy. Holiness is not something you try and become. Well, you do for a while when you're living down here. You think that Christianity is all about moving away from that and moving towards this so that you can become holy. But that's not the holiness we've got in our spirit when we receive Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive full pardon and full redemption. Blameless in his sight. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 2. For God made him who had no sin, who's that? Jesus. To be sin for us, so that in him, something happens. We might become the righteousness of God. And says it so well in Hebrews chapter 10. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You see, when we understand this, then it's not a struggle between good and evil at the level of self-determination and self-effort and self-righteousness, but it's an acknowledging the miracle that took place in the crucifixion. When the Bible says you were crucified with Jesus, when you received him, it was like it was your crucifixion. Some of you don't look totally convinced this morning. And my job here is to bring a word how to encourage yourself by remembering the gospel. So I want you to get this morning. Amen? So in light of these truths, let's agree with Paul, what he says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. So I know we're separating this, but even when we're living down here, for me, to live is Christ. I'm still in the world. Come on. I know we separate this for the illustration, but the reality is that I'm still on terra firma, hot and cold, good and evil, good and bad, tasty, bitter, a world of physical senses, a world of physical temptations. But for me to live is not to try and be like Jesus, but for me to live is Christ. See what else he says. For in him we live and move and have our being. Sorry, I went too quickly there. Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I didn't put this next verse in, but in the Epistle of John, he says, as he is, so am I in the world. You see, Paul had a deep revelation of what this meant to be in Christ. And as the apostle of the gospel of the early church, his task was to keep reminding God's people about this amazing truth. But often he was dealing with immature believers, believers that were still drinking milk. And in the book of Corinthians, he has to write to them and say, don't touch this, don't sleep with your mother-in-law, don't get drunk at the communion, don't eat meat offered to idols if it stumbles you. He has to engage with all their problems. He wasn't writing a message on how wonderful the gospel is, like he does maybe in Colossians or Ephesians. He's writing to the Corinthians, giving them rules and regulations. You know why? Because young believers need rules and regulations. Some of them lived here for so long, they didn't know the difference between this and that. They get born again, now they don't know how to live. So for a while, it's not a bad thing to give a toddler some do's and don'ts. I mean, don't just say to a toddler when he's being naughty, you must remember who you are in Christ. No, you've got to say, you touch that, daddy's going to give you fivefold ministry on your bum. Hard, fast, and continuous, if necessary. But ideally, we don't want to live as those who've been given instructions on how to live. We want to find out what miracle happened in the cross, what miracle happened when we became one with Jesus, so that like Paul, we can say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then we can say, for me to live is Christ. That's a very different message that's in the world than the message of feel good one day, feel bad the next day. Feel good one day, feel bad the next day. Because the problem with that is you'll just stay a baby. And he's saying, let me not get too far ahead of myself. He's writing to babies, but that's not the goal, to stay babies. He wants them to move up into maturity. Because if we're living down here and we still got a concept of God's out there somewhere, I'm now born again and I've got to work this out in my own ability, then chances I'm still a baby. Or I have a need or a challenge or hardship and I think maybe if I fast 5 days I can twist God's hand who's out there somewhere to help me. Then I'm probably still a baby. Then knock yourself out. You know, do whatever you got to do. But that's not the goal. The goal, as we'll see in the next verse, is not immature believers. 1 Corinthians 3:1. This is right at the beginning of his letter to the Corinthians. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? So now we know who the audience is that he's directing his letter to. So when we read through Corinthians and all the do's and don'ts and this and that, we have a grid to understand that that's not his goal, to keep them as babies drinking the milk of the knowledge of good and evil, but to bring them to maturity as grown-up your sons who know that Christ in them is the hope of glory. That's his goal. That's his ambition in them. But too much Christianity is lived down at this level over here, and then what makes it worse is we make our own rules and regulations to check the righteousness of other believers. And then we bring people into guilt, into condemnation, into judgment, as we just become puffed up in self-righteousness. That's not the gospel. That is religion. Religion is always down here, trying to stop evil and trying to do good. even if it means cutting my fingers off, living in a cave, burning my eyes out with hot sparks. That's what they literally did in the Middle Ages. Because they were so evil was so dominant, and they could never get to this place. They would get close, taste, and then drift back. You know what I'm talking about? Because some of you have experienced what I'm talking about. And maybe you're even experiencing it right now. And the goal of this time isn't 5 rules on how to not do that sin, and 5 rules not how to do that sin, and 5 things not how to do that sin. That's for babies. The gospel is addressed to mature people. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. I'm reminding you this morning about the importance of this gospel. So, okay, Steve, where to from here? I'm probably not going to remember half the stuff you said. You know, you're speaking too fast. I haven't even written all the verses down. And anyway, I know people who believe all this in Jesus, grace stuff, and they live like the devil. And you're probably right. But you see, here's the problem. Knowing about all this stuff isn't going to transform my life. It's when I respond to the prayer of Jesus that said, Father, make us one. Make us one. Me in them and them in me. And you, Father, in us and us in them. It's when suddenly we realize with the same faith that the same way we believed, we had to just believe to be forgiven of our sins. We have to believe that as He is, so are we in this world. That His crucifixion was my crucifixion. And of course, the goal is transformation. And if I'm talking grace, and I'm still living here, how foolish. You'll be a slave to that. Transformation is the goal. Christ-likeness. But it's not the Christ-likeness to be earned in our own ability. It's the Christ-likeness we receive by faith, the same way we receive the forgiveness of sins, same way we receive believing that Jesus rose from the dead. We believe as He is. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with God. For in Him I live and move and have my being. Christ is my life. Death is gain, I'm going to heaven. But right now, Christ is my life. And this knowledge, you see, if it's just head knowledge, it's never going to transform into the transformed life. It's like reading a book on banting. Any banters there? Diet. The banting diet. Who are the banters? My wife bants for both of us. I'm on banting plus. No, actually banting light. Works for me like a bomb. I can know all about banting to the point I can get up here and tell you all about banting. I can engage on the internet and put everyone to shame because of my great wealth of knowledge on banting. But there's just one problem. I love hamburgers. I love KFC, hot dogs, chips, and popcorn. Here's the problem. While the heart is still in love with hamburgers and popcorn, my mind will be unrenewed, and how much knowledge I have doesn't change anything. Have you got that? So just knowing all about this means nothing until click. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' death was actually my death. That means He's living inside me right now. And I know how tough it is to forgive somebody. And I don't even want to try and forgive them because I know I always fail. So Jesus, You are the great forgiver. And I know Your life is flowing through me. I am abiding in the vine of the tree of the knowledge of life. Jesus, will Your life begin flowing out of me? And this person I'm finding so difficult to forgive, Or, Lord, I don't like being generous to people because people abused me and used me. I can't be generous. I've tried. And okay, Lord, but you're the most generous person in the world. I know that your life is in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He's my life. I'm abiding in the vine. You see, my friend, fruit is not something that comes at the end of a fast or a New Year's commitment, resolution thing. Good fruit is not like a goal we have in life. I'm going to be more loving. Because I know I'm not very loving all the time, so I need to be more loving. I really need, so I must try harder, do this, do that, read this. No. You know how you're going to get righteousness, love, peace, joy, patience, perseverance, and all the other fruits of the Spirit? It's fruits and roots. He is the root. He says, abide in me, and you will be fruitful. Abide in me and you will be fruitful. I'm telling you, church, as your loving pastor who struggled with all these things in my own life, is when the root is wrong, the fruit of the Spirit do not manifest. And the fruit of the Spirit are what transformation is all about. Transformation. That's his purpose for your life. To be conformed into the image of Jesus. We're living here. We know what the tree of life is producing. And I begin to experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. As I abide in the vine, I'm producing the fruit. Are you getting some reminding this morning? Because I know over the years we've spoken about some of these things. But I've got to keep reminding. I've got to keep reminding my own hard heart about roots and fruits. Look at this. Don't you know? You tell the person next to you, don't you know? All right, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, and that's not just water baptism, that's when we were joined spirit to spirit, and were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may what? Live a new life based on co-crucifixion, co-union, co-resurrection. Look at this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, not the person next to you, holy, okay? Holy isn't the state you're trying to get to. Holy is what God did to you when he put you in Jesus Christ. Okay, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and deeply loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Who does the clothing? Clothe yourself. Know who you are in Christ. Know that you one spirit with Jesus. Know that as he is, so are you in the world. This comes as we practice it. The same way as a young believer, we maybe had doubts. I wonder if Jesus ever did get risen from the dead. And we had to keep on having revelation come to us until we accepted that. Well, I wonder if my sins were really forgiven. We've got to keep having revelation until we accept that. I'm telling you, church, we need to keep having revelation that as he is, so are we in this world. That by his death, my righteousness was given. Because he became sin, who knew no sin, so I could become the righteousness of God. Roots and fruit. Or look at this one. So I say, live by where? The Spirit. Not carnal. I have to write to you because you need milk all over again. Carnal Christians. He uses the word carnal, which means fleshly, soulish. He says, no, if we are, and I know we put that in the capital S, it could be, might not be, because the Greek doesn't have capitals. It's by context that you, so live by the Spirit, your Spirit, his Spirit, together as one. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. I must just mustn't lose my notes. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, which is given to babies. And they're given to babies because the acts of living in this realm are obvious. They are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, orgies. I warn you, like I did before, those who live like this will not inherit what God's got for them. They will not walk in the fullness of the abundant life, the fullness of a transformed life. Because those carnal believers who are still living under the law, who are not following the Spirit, but, he goes on and says, the fruit, say fruit, not the works, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. We were crucified. We died. So when you got baptized, that was your funeral. Welcome to your own funeral. You were baptized because you died. You were crucified with Christ, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. There's so much more to say. You can switch it off at the back there. What can I do? There's just a lot of verses that come after this, and I feel like I need to wrap it up. I'm about halfway through this. But I want to remind you of the gospel this morning. Because that's how you're going to find courage. Even as you remember what God has done for you in the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, you will be encouraged. When you think on these things and put your confidence in this amazing truth, that the only life acceptable to God Almighty is the life of Jesus. I'll say that again. The only life that is acceptable to God Almighty is the life of Jesus. And you are complete in Him. You and I are partakers of the divine nature. As He is. No longer I, but Christ. You see, I still live in this natural world. Except I now know that the only life acceptable to God is this life that I'm describing through the gospel. Not just knowledge about it, but when my mind is transformed and renewed, and my life becomes, I didn't even get to that second part of what a transformed life looks like, roots and fruits. But maybe I've said enough this morning to stir you up, to spur you a little bit, to say, I've got to keep my courage as a believer. Times are tough out there. I'm in a season I don't understand right now. It feels like all of a hell is unleashed and is against me. But I choose to remember the good things that God has done for me. And I remember this gospel. I'm being reminded that there is a greater hope. That in Christ, I don't have to become depressed and oppressed and be washed away. In Christ, I can find hope again. Because in my spirit, I just go quiet for a moment. I know what my soul is capable of. I can feel certain things that might be good or bad. I can think certain things that might be good or bad. I can choose certain things that might be good or bad. Things coming in through my senses, what I taste, what I smell, what I touch. Yeah, that's my body. I'm capable of that. But I am a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. I'm not my soul. I'm not my body. And Paul is writing to baby believers who still at this level are going, this is reality. This is where I have to try harder. This is where I have to be gooder. And he writes to them as toddlers, but not in the view to keep them as toddlers, but in the view that they will be transformed and move into an abundant life. I love the gospel. I love the gospel. Can we stand up right now? And I've gone a little bit over time, but as we stand up, and Raylene, you played so nicely this morning. Don't you want to come back? In fact, get the band up here again. You guys were such a tonic to us. It was so undergirded, really, what I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. You see, church, we can leave here this morning with a head full of knowledge, ticked a few boxes. Yes, I know that. Yes, I believe that. Oh, that was a funny joke. I mustn't forget that. Or we can leave here going, you know, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Talking about my spirit, me, the person who's capable of feeling, the person who's capable of thinking, that's me, that's you. The person who's capable of making choices, the choices aren't you. You are the person capable of making choices. You are a spirit that's alive, a spirit that's now alive to God, that needs to know as he is, I am in Christ. And I'm going to live reminding myself. In the morning, I'm going to remind myself. At noontime, I'm going to remind myself. When I'm driving down the road and I'm irritated with a taxi in front of me, and I know I said something I shouldn't have said, and it's very ugly, and if they heard me in church, they'd be very shocked. I know in those moments that it's not my life of the knowledge of good and evil that I'm in favor with God. But in Christ, I breathe in. I say, Lord, I need some life. I need some of your life right now. Here's a good opportunity. Thank you for this temptation, because temptations remind me who I am. Temptations remind me that's not who I am, but who I am is found in Christ. Temptation is a good thing. Even Jesus had temptation. At a soulish realm, even Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. You know, he didn't sin just because he was tempted. Too many of us fall into condemnation even when we get tempted. But Jesus didn't sin because he immediately came back into the union, the participation with the Spirit of God. And he says to you this morning, if you will abide in me, and I will abide in you, Holy Spirit, you will produce fruit in your life. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When you walk in my spirit, believe my spirit. If you fill yourself every day with my word, you will be like a tree by the living waters. You will be like a tree bearing fruit in season. When the drought comes, you will not fear. When the land turns barren, you will not be afraid. Because you have a root that goes deep. Because you have a root that touches the everlasting streams that flow beneath. Because as I am, so are you in this world. As you abide in me, as you abide in me, I will abide in you. And you will bear good fruit. You will bear much fruit. You will bear fruit that will never decease. It'll never be taken away. It'll never black. It'll never lack in your life. It'll never rot. It'll be fruit everlasting if you will abide. If you will abide. Abide in me. In the Father, we are one. I give you my divine nature. I give you my essence. I give you my soul. Yes, as I am, so are you in this world. Rise up, church. Righteousness will be yours. Peace, joy, long-suffering, perseverance, kindness, gentleness. These things will abound in your life as you are rooted in the truth. Your fruit will show the kingdom of God wherever you are. Take your eyes off the temporal. Do not be locked in to the physical and the temporal things that you can judge and see and negotiate. But this morning, remember this. My gospel to you. And right now, just as I believe the rain of heaven is falling upon us, but there might be one or two people here who've never said yes, Jesus. I want to say yes to this Jesus. I want to say yes to this gospel. Not the gospel of the knowledge of good and evil and staying a baby and being told what to do and what not to do and feeling guilty and feeling condemned and feeling estranged because God's never happy because anyway, he's far away and I'm here doing my best. No! No! Jesus called you this morning to himself, the lover of your soul, the one who wants to be intertwined with you, who wants you to partake of him, who wants you to come into union of oneness at such an intense level that it radically alters your thinking and it becomes your story. That Jesus says to you this morning, come, come to me, come to me. Can I pray for you? If that's you, you say, yes, please, Pastor Steve, pray for me right now. Just where you're standing, in your heart, say, Jesus, make your love real to me today. As your blood was shed for my forgiveness, so your resurrection was intended for me to be raised up into a new life. I receive the gift of salvation into my life. If that's you right now and you said, yes, I prayed that, can I pray a prayer of agreement with you? Can I pray a prayer of agreement for you right now? Just where you're standing, you say, yes, I prayed that, I meant it. Then look up at me, make eye contact, because I want to pray for those who prayed that prayer. Look up, make eye contact with me, and I'm going to point in your direction. I want you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for right now. Just raise your hand. If you're looking at me right now, you say, that's me, include me in that prayer, Pastor Steve. Just raise your hand where you're standing now. Anybody here? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? These few moments are worth every second for someone who says, please, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anybody in this section I've missed? If I didn't look at you, and I don't want to miss anyone.